In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Way to go, John. Good shooting.
Thanks, Dan. I love to see those theories, bad theories, go to the bottom. I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take lighthearted looks at serious issues.
We do.
Of evolution and creation.
That's hard because we're not very serious people.
And that's the way we like to do it. And today we actually are taking quite a serious issue, Stan. It's one that's caused us some serious consternation.
Oh, my goodness. We want to share our pain with the audience today, our Greek pain.
Oh, the pain of going back to our Greek roots. Now, we're not talking about our scientific roots, mind you. We're talking about our college and seminary days, Greek. It was truly Greek. Actually, I didn't do bad in Greek. I liked Greek.
Yes, I did okay, you know, and it was fun.
Struggles in Greek right now.
Well, your son is a Theo major also, and we wish him well, and he will feel your pain.
I'm feeling his pain, actually.
What people need to remember is the New Testament was written in the Greek language, and when you want to study the New Testament, in particular in the original language, you better know your Greek.
And just, it's not your normal contemporary, it's classical Greek.
Classical Greek, and studying the classical Greek on a verse today is where we want to go, because it is foundational. It's fundamental to the whole subject of creation evolution.
Of life itself, or knowing itself.
Everything is based on this word, a little five-letter word called faith.
Faith. It's the other one. Flood and faith are hard scientific words.
Another five-letter F word that's hard for scientists perhaps to say. But we believe here at Sink the Beagle that virtually all great beliefs in life are faith-based beliefs.
Even, well, there's a bad belief called evolution, which is still, whether they like to admit it or not, a faith-based belief to stand.
It's a faith-based belief. It's a faith-wrapped-up belief. And it's a faith-topped belief. It's a faith-everywhere belief. But anyway,
it's
not that we're
God.
Biased. No, it takes a lot of faith. And sometimes I've answered people on this subject, why do you believe the biblical view versus evolution?
It takes too much faith to believe in evolution.
Too much faith to believe
in
Darwin's.
Way too much. You bet.
So
what's our text, Dan? What's our torpedo text, our focus of today?
Mm-hmm, that's right. Our biblical focus is based on Hebrews 11:1. And what we want to do is we're going to take the verse apart because we think it's really important to do that. And it is.
We got our tools. We're men. We can take things apart and put them back together again.
We will do that. Now, faith.
Just don't tell our wives.
Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, if you had a King James Bible, it would say, now faith is the evidence of things hoped for. No, the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So we want to take that verse apart because it's very fundamental. As the writer of Hebrews, and some of us think that was the Apostle Paul, continues in the chapter is all about faith with illustrations of great faith people of
the
Bible.
By the way, faith always has to have an object. What you could say in this whole chapter is, faith in God is the evidence. By faith in God, Enoch did this. Or by faith in God, Noah did this. Or by faith in God, Abraham did this. So faith always has an object. That's the first point I'd like to make, is that this faith is a theistic faith.
Okay.
It's a faith. It's a confidence. It's placed in God.
Well, you know, let me read just a little further into the chapter. It says, for by it, that is by faith, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible.
Ooh, now what was seen was not made by things that were visible.
In other words, this is an anti-materialism verse right here, an anti-naturalism verse.
That is probably the defining main difference between a creationist right there and a evolutionist, is that our approach is philosophically a belief in a being that is supernatural, beyond what nature and material is, who can create nature and material, versus People that believe that material in the beginning was material and material begot more material and it became a warm puppy.
Exactly, exactly. In other words, we do not see all that is real. It is not all visible to your and my eyes. The entire universe consists of aspects that are beyond human eyesight. So there is an aspect that is, you know, not visible to us.
Or not always testable.
Right.
In the purely scientific way of testing.
I want to add verse 6 in this study because this is very, very important as well. And it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So you must understand, you must believe in your faith. There's the object you're talking about.
Yep.
You must believe in God, and more importantly, your image of God must be that he's a reasonably pleasant person, that he is a rewarder of those who seek him.
The relationship.
Yes.
You know, you almost could say by trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
By a trusting relationship. It's a relational term.
Mm-hmm.
And where it's kind of interesting, where do you put your trust? What do you put your faith in? What do you put your hopes in? What do you put your dreams in?
Mm-hmm.
And if you, by faith in evolution, or by mm-hmm. trusting in scientific and human knowledge, do you have a whole lot to look forward to? That's the next thing.
Yeah,
our text goes on. You know, it says, by faith,
yes, yeah, so
faith
we,
is... these things.
Well, now I want to get the chisel out and the screwdriver and the hammer and everything. We're going to take this
verse. The Greek
verse
lexicon.
The Greek lexicon and the internet and everything else. And we're going to take a look again at this verse because we want to understand what is faith. And you mentioned that it has an object, but what is faith, especially in this area of creation evolution? Well, this is our area. It says, now faith again, verse 1, says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let's take apart. There's
two parts.
There's two clauses or phrases there. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, what does it say in the original Greek?
Well,
and don't rattle off the Greek words, but
I want to rattle off the Greek word.
Oh, go ahead, show off.
Hypostasis.
Hypostasis.
Now,
stasis.
Hupo is two word. Hupo.
Yeah. Hupo. Hypo. Like hypodermic means below skin. Below stasis. What's stasis?
Stasis is something that is static, something that is concrete, something that's foundational, it's immovable, underneath the immovable. It's like the superstructure underneath.
It's what is. Stasis is kind of what is.
It's kind of what is. It's a superstructure of what is.
Uh-huh.
And
so the basis or the underneath part of what is. Faith
of what is.
Now, wait a minute. Faith is that?
Faith is the assurance or the of what is. It's a superstructure assuring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You start getting into it a little deeper. We have things that we are hoped for.
Yes.
It's the one, that's why the King James says it's the substance.
Substance is a very good translation.
Yeah.
Substance.
Yeah. Substance. What stands.
Of from things, stasis.
Of hoped for things.
Mm-hmm.
Of things that are beyond our day even. Or of things that are beyond our reality, which is maybe more even akin to what it's looking at.
Let's do that second phrase, and we're going to tie this together in a pretty bow, because you and I are experts at this. Isn't that right, John?
We can't gift up the whole lot. We can't gift up this whole thing before it's over.
Well, it says the second phrase, it says the conviction of things not seen, or the evidence of
faith
things.
Faith is the evidence.
Yeah, now how can faith, you think about it, give me the evidence, and then I will have faith. Isn't that the way it works?
No, the Bible is just the opposite. Faith is the evidence that those things are what they are.
Are you trying to tell me that what God is trying to say through Hebrews 11 to my head is this?
He's trying.
It's not
really
always, you know, there's a little bit of a knock knock there, but that you can actually believe in Scripture. You can believe in the world or the cosmos view that Scripture tells us, the reality of things, partly based on seeing faith, maybe in other people, the beliefs of others, the faith that others have is actually part of the evidence that I could build my own faith on?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
In other words,
to go through the chapter 11 with all these great stories of people who believed in God, their faith becomes the substance of the reality of what they believed in.
That's why I wanted to include those words in God early.
Ah.
Because faith in God is the evidence of all those things. And these people reflected that in their life. They had a testimony of what their faith did for them.
And they were living evidences of the reality
witnesses.
Of God.
Yes, living witnesses, a testimony of who God is like, what he does. And you read that one passage. He is a rewarder of those who seek after a relationship, which that second verse is the evidence of things not seen.
Evidence of things not seen.
Anti-empirical to a degree. Not necessarily anti-empirical in the sense that there is a common sense which would say that even nature testifies to a designer or a God.
Well, that this evidence kind of goes beyond that. It presupposes that, but the evidence is even greater than that. It's greater than just empirical stuff. It goes beyond that.
If faith is the evidence of the things that are not measurable, testubable, and that greater reality is God Himself, and it is the evidence. And there's this thing that it's funny, they call it praxis, is a funny term that people sometimes use, where I believe and then because I believe, I do. Mm-hmm. But there is a level where I do and then I believe, where my actions actually precede my belief in something in a sense. It's kind of like, I see it happening in a Christian's life sort of this way. I have nowhere else to go. I'm going to try this prayer thing. Okay, God, if you're out there, I don't even know if you even exist, but just my act of calling and seeking after him, all of a sudden he responds.
Yes, he does.
And all of a sudden I come from doubt or very little faith of less than a mustard seed to all of a sudden believing that there is something out there that did, I don't know how this happened.
Yeah. I remember very clearly the days of me being a Christian, learning how to be a Christian, and my baby steps I took as a young Christian, and I tried prayer and everything, and I thought this should work. I think, will this work? I don't know. Let's try it. And so we tried praying for things. My roommate and I were praying for things, and things were happening, and things were lining up, and coincidences kept coming on a regular basis, and our faith grew.
You know, it's so funny, Stan. We did this as a group of church leaders in my church last September. My head elder called for a series of meetings of all the leaders, and he said, I want to try something. He said, I want to see God at work. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're sitting. So he said, let's pray for one specific family that we need it. Pastor, pick a family. I picked a family where only the grandmother came to church, and there's I think we counted 13 siblings that were not either children or grandchildren.
We picked a big one.
Yeah. We really did. Uh-huh. All but two have now come back to church, and we didn't visit them. We didn't do anything spectacular. Wow. We just, as a group, prayed for them and asked God to work and let us see the evidence of His working. There were a few coincidences, like you say. You start stringing them together.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And we're just sitting here, and we just said, and some things happened in their life that all of a sudden caused them to seek after God. And it's interesting that, whenever we see them in church, we all just kind of look, because they don't even know to this day.
They're the miracle family.
They were the object of our prayers. Yes. A whole clan.
I think it was important that you pointed out that the word pistis or pistuo, the words that are translated faith, really can also mean trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's a relational word. There's no separate word in Greek for trust. And so we're talking about trusting in God. Well, now in these last few seconds, John, where does faith then stand in this whole area of creation evolution?
It's the foundational concept. It's the foundational relationship, foundational glasses which we approach our entire existence.
You mean we can't prove all these things?
No, we can't prove. Okay. Science has foundational glasses too. Yeah. Their glasses are anti-faith.
Okay.
Anti-trust.
So it is possible to have faith and to trust in God, and this in itself becomes evidence of the reality of what we're believing in.
And we hope that's what each listener will have.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time for Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.